Well, Chef, what you got? Then you could you and deal the bait, let me show Brennan O'Davina and Chef. How are you doing this evening, everybody? Welcome to the show. I want to thank, of course, Ivan Borden for the Power Plus, and of course, the legendary Ivan Borden and the legendary Donald Kavanagh as well. He certainly knows his way around this building, and them lovely tones of his with the news there. And to my left, of course, he takes enough risks when he spins those discs. I nearly messed it up there, Joe. You made me laugh. Joe Diggs, the one and only Joe Diggs, is here looking after me as ever, folks. This is the Deal Debate. We're going to round up all the GAA News stories for you from the weekend. Of course, the exciting action from the weekend. Soon we will hear from Burt's Conor Gartland after his side's epic Ulster final victory in the Junior Championship. He was man of the match, extra time victory from them. We'll also hear from Simon McMenamin, who's the chairman of Setanta and ex-player, after his side and Donegal Club Hurling's historic first game in the Senior Hurling Championship there against St John's of Antrim. Michael McMullen will also be on the show, Michael of Gaelic Life. He'll be looking back at all the weekend's action and looking at the manager merry-go-round, of course, looking ahead to the Ulster Club semi-finals coming up next weekend. Always great to chat to Mal. He was up in Owen Beg as well on Saturday watching Setanta play St John's. Just here locally, the under 21 championship, the football championship, the A grade is coming down the tracks. We're at semi final stage. We had wins at the weekend. Gador were beaten by Glen Swilly. Neve Connell defeated St Junan's. Terman played A Rua in what sounds like one of the games of the year. 3-19 to 4-14. The Terman men coming through after an extra time. Wow, sounded like some match. Four Masters got the better of McCool's in the final. Semi-finals, so that leaves Glen Swilly, Four Masters, Neve Connell at Terman in the semi-finals of our A Championship. Should be some cracking games coming up. Friday night, myself and Brendan Kilcoyne were down at a McCrory Cup game. Group match down in Ardrath. She was cool boy. We were out in the gantry doing a bit for the streaming. We've seen Abbey VS narrowly beat South West, that amalgamated South West team by a point. Great game. There's some reaction up on HighlandRadio.com from Abbey manager Pádraig O'Donnell. Of course, Shane Moran is in there as well. He's part of the management team for South West. Might get a bit of chat about it later if we get time. In the under 16 Ulster Championship, the Paul McGurr tournament, Four Masters narrowly beaten by Balahi. Balahi coming back from 10 down at one stage in that game to snatch it over the men from Donegal Town. On the Donegal LGFA scene, James Daly has been ratified as the manager again this season. Good luck to James and all his backroom team. Looking into 2026, that's what we're at now. We're at that time of year. It's getting a bit cooler out there. Some people are still going, and one of them is Maxi Curran, our own Maxi Curran, of course, coached many teams here in Donegal, of course, current Downing's manager. He is manager of Moneyglass Ladies, who had a history-making Ulster Ladies Senior Championship win over Ergo Kieran, the team that beat our own Glen Fann. 3-10 to 6 points. Huge victory for them. Well done to Maxi and his team going forward in that competition. But I said from the get-go, we're going to speak with Conor Gartland, of course, Donegal, and Burt Hurling star. Conor, are you there?
Yes, Brenton. How's things?
Conor, great to see you. Conor, just looking at the headline here, Gartland inspires Burt to Ulster glory. You got to get that one framed. That's one to be kept there.
Hi, the old boy kind of slapped it down on the table as he walked into the house there. So, you know what? It's not really what it's about. You know what? It's about the club as a whole, but it's always nice to see something like that about yourself.
I know, Conor. Listen, I know the way it is. You're one of them warrior men that's in there. It's going to be all over the pitch, doing just what comes naturally to you. And then some days you just have one of those games where you inspire 14 men, Burt, as well. It took us a while. They settled a couple of wides early on, but, you know, at halftime, got in a man down and 4 points down. What was the feeling at halftime in the squad and in the dressing room?
You know, we didn't panic, to be honest with you, Brenton. We didn't panic. We went in and, you know, we had Ronan sent off quite close to halftime. And, I mean, you'd know yourself from covering Donegal Hurling over the years what a massive player Ronan McDermott is. And in terms of leadership, you wouldn't get much better. And the other thing was, he was absolutely flying on the day. The ball was sticking to him. And as you said, we had a few wides at the start, but Ronan got us up and running with a couple of points. So It was kind of hard to lose him, probably felt like he was a wee bit hard done by, and we'll hopefully maybe get it appealed for the next game. But the important thing is we didn't panic. We went on at half time, had a wee discussion about where we were going to take it from there. But do you know what? In a way, it's a nice position to be in. I mean, Lavie were going in red hot favourites through the game, actually. And at half time, we were four down, the man down, kind of backs to the wall. You're not expected to do anything, and there's a bit of freedom that comes with that. There's a bit of freedom in terms of what you can do on and off the ball. And look, we went out and gave it what we could, and thank God it was enough.
Yeah, I like the way you say you had a nice wee chat about it. It sounds kind of almost friendly. There's bound to be a wee bit of chest pumping before you went out, though, right? There's still that, when you've backs the wall. I don't mean this in any way to take away from it, but you can fairly raise a dressing room then. It's a great place to be, Gunnar, when you have that, because it takes the best out of people then.
I mean, friendly probably wouldn't be honest of a word. I mean, there was a bit of roaring and shouting, but there was no falling out, no blame or anything like that, and it was all motivational. And I actually said to the boys myself that I genuinely believed we were going to win that game, and I did. I kind of had a good feeling about it at halftime, even though we were behind, because I knew we hadn't played. We'd played within ourselves a wee bit. And that kind of sparked us the life, kind of that halftime talk, as you say, maybe not the friendliest, but it was what we needed, and it went down well. We went out in the second half, and we were like a different team.
Yeah, listen, do you know when it was set up like that, as you said, underdogs, being a man down and 4 points down. Listen, Liam McKinney brought it level to take it into extra time with a free, and then a Freaker Gill with a beauty of a winner. If you're going to win it, it's hard to beat winning it with a great score, isn't it?
Absolutely. Liam, they took that last free of the game. I mean, that was guts. Like that, you couldn't put into words how much guts that took to take that final score. And then, he was the one who actually got the leveler at extra time before Faker scored the winner. And I mean, what can you say about Faker's point? They come off the bench, and he's only a young man himself as well. I mean, as I say, guts, he could have so easily turned around and fired that off to somebody else, but he kind of says, "No, I'm going to have this one." And I mean, unbelievable score it was, and no better man that deserves it more.
Yeah, just when you're on about like your assurity at half time there, seeing Liam McKinney stepping over that free, is that the same thing? When you have players in there, do you think, right, this isn't going to faze him, he's going to put us over the bar? Like that counts for a lot. And it's not that, as you were saying there, the team focus is the whole thing, but there's certain players in there then, at different times, that they do set the tempo and kind of set it for the other guys. Like the other guys want that, and as you said, having McKinney over that free, when the pressure's on there, you need people like that. You knew that wasn't going to faze him.
Aye. Me and Liam would be the exact same age now. So from the second I picked up a stick, I was playing alongside Liam. And I mean, I feel like we link up very, very well on the pitch. I think I know what Liam's going to do before Liam knows what he's going to do, which is usually shoot, like, but he normally scores. So,
Yeah.
and I'm no better man to be standing over that free, to be honest. I mean, with the way the wind was going on the side of the pitch, it was kind of a tailing out kind of one. So very hard free from the sideline in that area, but there's nobody I would have rather had standing over that ball than Liam.
Yeah, and tell me, we're just on Enda McDermott and his backroom team there, but the work that's going on there, bringing the club on, bringing this kind of youngish, young bird team, another new team through, coming of age in many ways now, this last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I have nothing but respect for Enda and his backroom team, John, Leo, Fergal. I mean, he nothing but respect for Enda. I mean, he took our hurlers in 2019, I think it was, and we had won the county title in 2018, and we had 13 retirees that year. So I felt like he kind of got a raw deal then. And this year he had to take over again, and he took the reins himself. And it kind of looked like a similar thing was happening again whenever the two Kearns did their ACLs and Kieran Brady got injured and then Liam was going to America. I was thinking that this poor man doesn't need this for all the kind of effort he puts in. So, look, I was absolutely delighted for Enda as much as anyone to win that game at the end.
Yeah, and tell me, where does the celebration centre? Because a lot of people listening to this look at Burt and think where it's happening. But of course, you've Bajend and the Burnfoot, and it goes on past Burnfoot. There's not row about where that that border ends, isn't there? We are Buncrana friends and that. But where was it? Do you go on a few different wee trips here? Where does it all kick off after Conor?
The celebrations.
Yes.
Well, on the night of, we just went straight to the greening, kind of, just on past the clubhouse. And I mean, I kind of called it a day after that now, but I think a few of the other boys were out and around Burnfoot and Bridgend, but I don't think too much happened in Buncrana, thankfully. We kind of we knew where the border was there and just up to your own turf, I think.
I hear you. I hear, very diplomatic as ever, of course, one of our main county men. Tell me, you're now, you talk about going on the road, you're going to be getting on a flight, heading to play Thomas McCurtain's in London in 2 weeks' time. That's another, I suppose, one of those moments, you know, don't happen that often, and it's amazing to be in that. It'll be just such a different environment heading away all together. It'll really create a great bond now you're representing Donegal heading over to London.
I you know what, I've had the pleasure of going to England to play before in London, and we played in Warwickshire as well, we Donegal, but I mean, I would always say there's something special about your club, like, and being able to go over there with your club mates is brilliant. And but the only thing is about the game is it's kind of the unknown, you know, whereas over here you would know the odd person who'd know the odd person who could give you a wee bit of information on the teams you're playing, but we'll be going over to London fairly blind, so that brings its own challenge in itself as well as the travel and stuff. But look, we'll just hope that it goes our way anyway, and as you say, the trip will be enjoyable and it's team bonding, and the young lads will enjoy it, and you know, we'll enjoy it as well.
Yeah, and right you are, you have to enjoy it too. Tell me, I know from like coaching and that, you're always looking for information and videos and that. Is that the kind of thing then where, you know, is it possible to get information on these? Is there videos out there from the likes of their British Championship final, or is there something out there that you can get, that you can see these guys before you go on a wee bit blind? Because I'm sure that type of information is available for them.
I don't know if there's something to be dug up, we'll dig it up, but I'm not sure. And I'd normally be fairly good for that. I'd have friends in low places, like I could normally.
keep your friendships open to everyone. You never know you're going to need somebody, all right, Conor?
Any team in Ulster, I could usually get a name or two, but yeah. Fairness, England's a different story.
I mean, well, teams are always changing too, right, Conor? Don't you? I mean, it's never the same team. They're always changing personnel because of the exiles, you know, versions we see there. Yeah,
it's on and out, and you know, English teams provide a kind of a special challenge because what they lack in bond, they kind of make up for an ability. A lot of the hurlers you get over there are Southern men who's played county underage, real natural hurlers who love their game but just had to move for a different reason. So while you might get a team that mightn't be gelled as well, they normally make up for an ability. So that brings its own challenge in itself. But, you know, we're looking forward to it. I mean, whenever we got into this Ulster Championship, that was just our goal. We were taking it one game at a time, but we just wanted to win it. So I feel like we're kind of in bonus territory now, and hopefully we're able to play with that freedom going forward that we had in the second half of the weekend.
Yeah, listen, and we wish you all the best on that, Conor. And well done again in your Ulster Championship victory.
Thanks very much, Brenton. Thanks for having me.
Top man, Conor Gartland there. Well done to him. After the break, we're going to speak to Setanta Chairman Simon McMillan. Yes, folks, welcome back to the DL debate. We had some history at the weekend. The men of Setanta Hurlers played in the Senior Hurling Club Championship. First time ever for a Donegal team. And now I'm delighted to say I'm joined by their chairman, Simon McMillan. Simon, are you there?
Yes, there. Brent, you can hear me?
Thanks, Simon. Thanks so much for joining us, sir.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me on.
Not at all. Simon, do you know what? History is being made. I know you're an ex-player as well. Served Setanta. Great in your time, but just going into this, and just for Donegal Hurling to be at this, the pinnacle, because I've watched these Antrim teams, they can mix it with anybody in the country. They've gone to all the way in this competition. So to be out against them, I mean, it's such a massive thing for Setanta and for Donegal Hurling.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, for us, it, you know, it's unknown territory, and you know, how do you approach it? Like, when seeing the lads there, they approached it like you couldn't fault them for effort and whatnot, but like playing at the higher level, you know, just you need to be playing at that higher level all the time, just like them Antrim teams. Like say they're able to mix it. Like Lougheed won it back in 2013 and won it well. They won it in 1982. You know, Cushendall, brilliant team over the years, you know, coming close as well. Dunloy, I think they've been to a fair few All-Irelands. Just, you know, pipped, always yeah. running into Portumna or Burr or somebody, you know, all-time greats. But for Donegal as a whole, like, you know, the whole club scene in the last 10, 15 years since I started playing is just, it's night and day now. Like, the standard is through the roof, and it's only getting better every year. And she's seen, like, earlier on in the league with Donegal, beat Kerry, beating yeah. Munster opposition. It's unheard of. Like, you wouldn't think of that years ago. Like, it's yeah. just, the whole game is in a high, like. Yeah.
And you know what? So, listen, Setanta are obviously, their place in that as being the team to beat every year has pulled other teams up around it. And you're seeing other levels now with teams, you know, starting out, really clubs getting their act together. The interest has been spiked. And you're seeing now, I think with things like this, you know, you've been seeing all over the country now, particularly in Ulster now, you're seeing a Donegal team step up. And as much as it obviously was a very tough game at the weekend, where you still acquitted yourself well, you know, that is a massive step, because you're on about steps in Donegal club hurling, Donegal hurling county team has taken them many times now, but that was a massive one for you. And in it, you know, I was just reading reports here and listening to Michael McMullen, and the three goals very fortuitous maybe in the game as well, but certainly, you know, there wasn't any of that potential maybe early blitzing from St John's. Like, you were well in the game, 2 points down in the start of the second half, and really competing in the game, which is gives so much respect, that's a talented team.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, like saying, the levels there, like, you know, just the way it's winter, you know, pitches are a bit bobbly, you know, the ball just bobbles, same as when we're all playing football and whatnot, you know, the ball just doesn't bounce right, just skates away from you. It's them little breaks, like, you know, the Antrim teams, like, you have to credit St John's, like, you know, they came through a tough championship, you know, their first win in, what, 52 years or something, you know, they bet Lougheed on the way, and they bet Cushendall in tight games, you know, like, they earned it, you know, their standard was, their touch was brilliant, like, you know, and that was the only real difference. Like, I don't think it was down to fitness or fight or hunger, you know, it's just that wee breaks, they were able to make it happen, and you know yourself, when stuff's going your way, it's definitely going your way, like, yeah, right? But yeah. I couldn't fault the boys, like, you know, yeah. they... I couldn't say a bad word about one of them. Like, they, like saying, it's history stuff. Like, you know, first time ever playing at that level.
Yeah.
And I think they acquitted themselves really well and whatnot. Like, there was no scoreline at the end, says we were beat well, but I don't think it was that margin of victory. You know, yeah. they really did turn it on at the end, but yeah. the lads kept plugging away, and they fought and hassled and harried the whole way.
Yeah.
You know?
It was massive. And, you know, I was just looking at Antrim, obviously, like, you look at coming out of Antrim, Dunloy winning the football. I think it was the first time in 90 years or something. And then, as you
yes.
say, you know, the likes of St John's, who I always knew as a football team. And when I seen them coming up then winning Antrim, I was like, you know, what's going on there? But listen, that's great. That's the GAA. That's what we love. Tell me just a word on Jerry Gilmore. You know, his own errant accuracy, his 8 points in the game. You know, fantastic stuff. I know the whole team battled well, but, you know, he just has that wee bit of magic and in many ways kept the scoreboard ticking over for you.
Oh, absolutely. Like you say there, a bit of magic, like this freeze, but it was open play. Like, you know, he can just turn on a sixpence and, you know, just open up a whole defence with a crossfield ball into Josh or something like that, or into Rory. Like, his vision is unparalleled and his pace is frightening. No, he seems to, I don't know how he's doing it, but he seems to be getting quicker every year. Like, and he takes off, you can stay with him. You're doing well. Like,
yeah,
he's been there in the first half there. He took off down the line, must have went about 80 metres. And just, boy, just got a wee tip in the hurley just to hook him at the end. Like, it would have been the score of the game. Like, it was just electric stuff. Like, you know, like you said, playing big team, like a couple of boys here playing for Antrim senior team. Like, you know, there wouldn't be no shrieking violets or, you know, they're playing against top teams over the last few years. I've seen them playing against Tipperary there up in Corrigan Park. It was about two, three years ago. And they were every bit as good as, you see, like, Jake Morris and all them boys were playing that day. They were every bit as good.
Mm.
So it just shows the standard, like, that Setanta are, got to play it at the weekend, one up, but the whole county is, you know, rising, and it's a great thing. Like, you know, people in hurling circles probably say that, you know, it's coming a while now, and it's a due. Like, you know, all the work's been put in, and I think we're starting to see the fruit of it now. From, especially, like, say, there other clubs dipping toe in the water, like Termin and St Michael's. There, you see them at wee underage blitzes now, which is brilliant. Like, and
yeah.
more numbers means you're getting a greater catch of players. Like, and all of a sudden, like, you could. there'd be gems found everywhere, like, you know.
That's it. Definitely. Simon, tell me, the layoff in between the one in Donegal and this, do you think this is, you know, it's like two different seasons, which is another thing nobody's really taken on board, you know. What's your feeling on that around that kind of time break? It doesn't seem fair to me to be you know, winning a title and you're at your best to win that title and come through Donegal and then this huge layoff.
Yeah, that's an issue now we've tried to work around, like, you know, how they schedule the season. Like, we know we'd like to see it, and I'm sure other clubs like Burt there had a long layoff and St Junan's had a long layoff. You know, you're sort of coming in a bit cold. Yeah. You know, you can play all the challenge matches you want, but you know from your own days, nothing beats the championship, like, to get you up to pace or, you know, to get you fired up. Like, you know, maybe a month's break or 3 weeks would be plenty. Like, but 3 months is it's a lot. Like, you know, it's, I don't know, you know, to extend the season more, and you'd be playing in bad weather as well. Like, but it also needs something to address. Like, 3 months is a long time to bait up. Like,
it's a different season, you know, and it, you know, it just feels, I mean, that, you know, if from a playing perspective there, you know, to keep your focus, like, in that time and to keep your freshness and sharpness, sure, you're training away in that, but when you've such a layoff to a big game, you know, it's difficult, as you said, you're playing challenge matches and different things, but to get up to that level of biting, particularly when you're stepping up to this, it makes that, you know, that first 35 minutes that all the more remarkable and fair play. And Simon, just going into next year, so is it up to the club to stay in the competition next year if you're the one Donegal? Is that your call?
I think we have to stay in it for a 3 to 5 years. It's all like, right, you know, right. like Bert have now won the junior, and so congratulations on support. That's a fantastic win. Like, Lavi are handy team. The lads played them in a challenge match a few weeks back, and they gave them every bit as good as we were able to give them. Yeah. You know, and like, don't know how they're going to do it. Like, you know, like, say, it's a hard one to circle, like.
Yeah, listen, it is, you know, but I suppose, as you said, and no more than you know, your management team, if Mark Marley and his lads stay on, we'll encounter that when we get past it, I suppose. That's the difficulty, because you don't know until you obviously won Donegal again.
But that's
the rules anyway, Simon, is it?
As far as I'm aware at the moment, like, you know, right. It depends on the provinces. Like, you know, I think Tyrone of Mayo have won 4 or 5 intermediate Connacht's in a row, and they still haven't, like, gone up now. Obviously, for them to step up, they've played like St Thomas's and Loughrea, and that might be a bit too far. Like, you know. Yeah.
But see, automatic, it's Antrim, Derry, Down.
And there'll be a new one now next year, because I assume Carrickmore and Lisbloth, they'll be coming up as well, because both of them won their games at the weekend. So it means now 5. No, and no, I was at a hurling thing there the last day in Centre of Excellence, and Kevin Kelly from Ballinscreen was taking it. He's telling us, in, was it 2006, there was 73 hurling clubs in Ulster. There's 115 now.
Right.
No, the game's not just grown across Donegal, and it is starting to take off in this county, but across the whole province, like.
Yes.
You know, so more teams, more games, more everything, it raises everything, like.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. And on Mark, is he looking to take a game next year, do you think? Or are you and him going to have a chat first? Or
I hope he does. How could you fault him with everything he's done? Like, you know, like, you know yourself, you're involved in St Junan's and whatnot, and you see what goes on in the background. The work that's unseen, like, massive, it is. Yeah. It's nearly like a full time job, even at club level now. I don't know how boys do at a county level.
Yeah.
You know, like, absolutely, it's their farm. Let's just say, first refusal if you want it.
Right. I hope you're listening, Mark. Fair play. Listen, it was an unbelievable season, and I suppose Tim and I met you a couple of years ago at the dinner dance up in the Villa Rose.
Yes.
You had a proper star there. I was just there to hand the mic over to Richie Byrne and a few other of your club legends. But I'll tell you what, we had a brilliant night. I know Cora Staunton's heavily involved there, and I was talking to her about yourself and that as well. But, you know, there was a fantastic buzz about it. And, you know, great club, great bunch of people. That was one of the best nights. My wife was pregnant at the time. I took my mum along.
Yes.
Of course, from a hurling part of Galway. So she was quite at home in the mix there. But it was a fantastic time. So listen, the club's on the up and up. You must be very proud, obviously, to be chairman there, Sam.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, you know, when I stepped into this role, you know, I didn't think it'd be as much in it. Like, you know, it's a real eye-opener. But, no, you get into it, you know, you're not going to get absolutely everything right. But you just immerse yourself into it, and all of a sudden, like, you know, stuff does start coming together. Like, you know, our own facilities there are starting to get up to speed with what other clubs have, you know, because there's, you know, yourself now, the games are going nearly all year round now. There's not just 9 months at a time. You know, it's 12 months now. Like tonight, like, with that, you think the season's over in an hour's time and we're having our AGM up at the clubhouse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just it never stops. Like, you know, the constant and the plan for next year starts straight away, you know, after a wee break. The lads let the hair down and, you know, a well-deserved break. Well, I'll be back with the county teams now and no time at all. Like, it's just never ends. Like,
don't you forget to get the Santa hat on soon then. You need a wee break yourself. I appreciate as a chairman that can be difficult, Simon, but you're doing great work there.
And listen, cheers.
Again, Simon, from all Donegal people, all the hurling fans out there, that's massive. Well done to Setanta, your club, and the squad that took the pitch there in that historic first game in Owen Beg at the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a pleasure to represent the county at any level. You know, we've done it in the club a few years, like, you know, junior and whatnot, and other clubs are doing it now. Like, this year, three teams in it, and they all hurled hard. The standard's on the up. Like, you know, five years ago, we'd only have a junior representative. That was it. Mm. Now we've senior, intermediate, and junior. Well, the game's on the up, and it's credit to all the clubs involved.
Yep, massive stuff.
Yeah.
And credit to yourself and Setanta. Listen, well done, Simon, as I say. Me and you'll stay in touch, and we'll be talking in the near future. As long as you stay on as well, you see, I should have said that as well. You know, as long as you stay.
We'll see what kind of reception I get now after this.
You have to ask somebody else about that, make sure you've got the go-ahead. There's always somebody.
She always says, yeah, she's happy to see me go out the door, so whatever that means. Like, you know.
That's a happy marriage. Simon,
yes.
First class, my man. Thanks very much for joining us this evening on the DLD.
Brendan, again, thanks for having us on.
Not at all, my man. Well done.
Bye.
Happy Christmas. Cheers, man. Yeah, Simon McMenamin there, chairman of Setanta. After the break, I'm going to speak with the one and only Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life and a good friend of Highland Radio. Yes, folks, welcome back to DL Debate. I'm having a row with my headphones here, but someone who's got a lovely wee set of headphones on here and looking sharp and ready for action. It's the Gaelic Life's Michael McMullen. Mal, what is the crack, my man?
Not too bad. I'm not sure what a row with a set of headphones looks like, Brent.
I got caught up there some way. I thought Joe would have came to my rescue, but he was laughing at me instead. I got him, I'm round my neck here some way, but it'll be all right. I'll be all right. Mal, listen, how is things, sir? You're keeping all right?
Not too bad, Brendan. Very interesting discussion with Setanta there. I was at the game, so the 12-week layoff is definitely a huge factor. And I'm just wondering, from a Derry point of view, we operate the week-on-week format where it's football, then hurling.
Yes.
And Stantonale, Swatra. Well, I suppose all the GAA clubs just go week about, and they accept that, and they're used to it. Whereas I remember Martin Regan saying something along the lines of they had five games 5 weeks in a row, so maybe the football clubs in Donegal would rather the 2 week cycle so they can actually have a properly, I don't know, proper breaks to prepare. And then the GAA clubs have to just take it as it is, because when you're a GAA club, you have to accept what you get. But 12 weeks is just too long, especially when you're playing a team like St. John's.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, I've been talking of the fact that there was 4 weeks from our senior football final to, you know, the game in Scotstown there. You know, there was some time in there, but with a bit of planning, and there's always this delay before it gets started as well. But yeah, you mentioned Derry there. You know, you look at club hurling in Derry, you know, it's very progressive. There seems to be a real push to make sure that it has its respect and its place. Maybe that push hasn't come in Donegal, maybe because Setanta, you know, Burt, you know, always kind of hurling first. And then you've other teams starting to come up that would be a bit more dual-like union. So maybe it's still seen as separate and they can play it off at a certain time. But if they're really going to, I think, push it on well and want it to represent, and also, now, obviously, Setanta came through and won the intermediate grade anyway. But it just doesn't seem fair from even your mentality of playing a competition to wait 3 months to play a part in the same competition.
Definitely not. Like, I interviewed Mark Callaghan up at the launch up in Canavans, and you know, it was probably maybe 2 weeks before the game, maybe three, Brenton, and he was just saying, like, they're playing challenge games, and like you hit the nail on the head earlier, it's just not the same. But I definitely do think it's something, and I suppose the situation you have here is that the only people who really have an interest in this debate is the Jewel Club. So maybe they don't have the same voice, I don't know, but I was just using that example of like Niamh Connell having 5 weeks in a row, and then you have Setanta that have 12 weeks or nothing. So would a week-on-week thing not be better? So say, for example, use Niall O'Donnell as an example. He plays hurling this week and potentially play hurling for Unions 1 week, football the next. And you just do what Brenton Rodgers does. You just balance the training load and it works. Yeah. So, but it's probably down to, I don't know, is it a county board thing? Is it a club thing? Is it a bit of both? But it looks like something that needs addressed.
Yeah, I don't see any will, to be honest, of anybody really talking about doing something like that as yet. Mm-hmm. But it certainly, I think, as Simon was pointing out there, all the steps that Donegal Club Hurling has made recently, it must come into conversation in a while, just out of respect to competition and having its place in there and not having that big layoff, Mal. So it's St. John's against Lochneil now in the final, Mal. That'll be a serious contest.
It will, surely. Like, Lochneil, it's actually their 11th Ulster final, which is significant because traditionally Derry teams wouldn't be in Ulster finals. So they've won 5 and lost 5. St. John's haven't been in a final since 73, and they've obviously took a wee while to knock that semi-final door in Antrim. So it's got the makings of a good one. And probably on the Setanta game, it was Conor Johnson's second goal that broke the game, because after half-time, Setanta had a back to, was it 2 points through Jared Gilmore, but it was that goal that just turned it. But Dix and John's were always going in as favourites, but Setanta were there for a long, long time, and you just wonder, it's a debate for another day, but just how much progress you can make through having a proper structure to suit the clubs. I think that's definitely the way forward, because you went from having a team in junior Ulster to having 3 teams. That's progress.
Yeah, it's some competition, Mal. You know, I guess at this time of year when the game's less than that, but for you, I suppose, kind of getting the competition to these end kind of parts must be very exciting in terms of, because you can be covering so many different games at different grades. But looking at the senior stuff there, Mal, you know, it's very interesting. You have two back-to-back kind of newbies, Aaron Gales and, of course, Newbridge, against two absolute powerhouses of their own county, as in Kilcoo and Newbridge. Both fascinating in their own ways, Mal, but two very interesting games coming up.
Very much so. I suppose the Scotstown and Newbridge one, like Scotstown, some of the players have 13 medals, and some of the Newbridge players have only ever played three games in Ulster, so that's the contrast. And then I suppose Aaron Gales are against Kilcoo. Like Kilcoo, I think they've won 14 out of 17 down championships or something along those lines, or maybe they've been in 14 out of 17 finals, or no matter what way it is, it's an unbelievable level of consistency. And then you've Aaron Gales, who from the outside looking in this year, they seem to be the team that just are impossible to beat. There's days they've been, like, I think Edirne had missed a ball of chances against them in the first half, and Aaron Gale still came back and they're able to, what did they say, Brent? They find that way to win. But I think this weekend, I'm not sure the exact facts of it, but I think one of their players is getting married on Friday and there's a wedding overseas, and I don't know the exact ins and outs of it. There's quite a few of the lads going to it. So with the game being on Saturday, how that upsets preparations, I'm not sure, but it's something they could be doing without in terms of preparation. But obviously that's out of everybody's hands. But you can only get
right,
a team. You're only against the team get Kilcoo. You need every wee bit of inch you can get.
Aye, Mal. Listen, I'd heard about that. One of the guys getting married, and of course, best man, one of the players, and all his crew and all that. Yeah, that's a difficult one to deal with. That's the last thing you probably needed to say. You need a total focus going into that, and it's not ideal for.
And it's maybe a case of if you're one of those clubs where you're always in Ulster, you factor those 2 months out.
You do, yeah.
This is Ulster time. Whereas maybe if you're a newcomer, you know, your Everest is winning the title, and we'll worry about that when it comes.
Yeah. And part of their feeling when they beat Kingscourt must have been particularly that groom must have been thinking, oh, that must have been a bit bittersweet there, Mal, underneath it, thinking, oh, here we go. I'm sure it was an awkward conversation after that. But you're, well, that's the way it is. You know, in Gales, you know, the manager merry-go-round now that's happening. Declan Bonner, of course, has now taken the Fermanagh senior job. And you know, you look at it, obviously, it's a big year for Malachy O'Rourke. McGeaney's in there, McGinnis in there. You know, obviously, you know, Mina coming in. You know, every county seems to be trying their best to get up to that next level. It's set up for a fascinating Ulster campaign coming up, even how Ulster teams are going to fare out in the leagues.
It is, surely. And then, thankfully, from probably a preparation point of view, you've got the McKenna Cup so that you can put new boys in, like just use Donegal, for example. You know, give Sean Martin 3 McKenna Cup games and see where he's at, or somebody like that coming into the Derry squad, maybe Conor McAteer from Newbridge if they're not still in the championship. So that's where that comes in. I definitely think that's a big help. Also, Brendan, with the fact that managers had the new rules for a full year, it might have taken them that year to really find their feet. And maybe over this past few months, they've actually been seeing, like, what can we do differently next year? That's where I feel the most interesting side of it's going to be. You know, will you find a way of beating the kick-out arc? Will we find a way to use the advanced mark a bit better? Because it was a bit of a crash course last year, and it's a crash course that Kerry passed again, as they always do. But for everybody else, it's maybe a chance to properly digest things and seeing how you can coach with these rules. I think that's what most people will be looking forward to.
Yeah. Is it too simplistic to say, Mel, that the reason that I think a bit of a blanket defence net came in was teams that were trying to beat teams as better than them and trying to make it a bit trench warfare and stick to the plan enough to kind of just get you across the line? The new rules now are saying, here, the better players are going to win the match by and large. Now, there's maybe not a lot between a lot of teams, but is it a sign that Kerry did come through and won it? You know, you'd have to say they are the best team in Ireland as well, and you can no longer shut them down the way you used to. So now the concentration goes back to the skills of the game and the real front foot nature of going after football matches, which can only be exciting, but it certainly does put the ball back in the Kerry courts. And if that Dublin team was still here, they would be a serious animal to work with as well.
Very much so. Like, Kerry won that All-Ireland, they won the league, but they beat Cork twice, and they beat 3 of the big Ulster dogs in the knockout games, which leaves it an almighty success for them. But I just remember we had a bit of a post-mortem in the Hardcore Hotel residence bar on the Sunday night of the All-Ireland final, and the All-Ireland final for me was a sort of a landmark moment, I think, because it just lets you see that you cannot try and limit a team like Kerry. Like, say Kerry scored 20 points, I don't think you can base your whole game plan on saying, right, we're going to hold Kerry to 15 next year, because you're not going to.
Yeah,
I think it comes back even down as far as underage coaching. Like, say you went out next season to take St Union's under 14s, and you're thinking, right, we're going to coach players to score as much as we possibly can, because whenever it gets to the big stage, it's going to be the 3 or 4 best players that are going to decide the game, as opposed to, you know, the 2 or 3 players who are limiting teams. And Kerry have been, Brendan, the benchmark, and they're back again with the new rules, and they are the benchmark again. And that's what I mean. I just feel that you have to actually go and try and increase your scoring average as opposed to decreasing the other team's scoring average. I think that's where it is now. The problem is, if you're a club or your county where you're so far down a different road, it's probably more the fact that under 14, under 16, under 18, and in 5 to 10 years' time, we'll see the benefits. It's too deep to talk about 10-year plans on a Monday night, but you know what I mean? It's nearly like a progressive thing where you have to actually try and beat Kerry at their own game.
Kieran Mina might be listening, man. He'll get you in for a 10-year plan. Hey, the Derry takeover. we're all looking over his shoulders here. Just on that, Mal.
We're trying to win games. We're not trying to get a 10-year plan in.
Yeah. You've got that balance, obviously, always in counties, and you always get the impression that if the man's from the county, he's more interested in that development. Whereas if somebody comes in for a post that you know is going to be 2, 3, 4 years max, listen, he needs his players there and then, and that's what he's more interested on. Sure, there might be somebody about 18 that is a possibility, but really anything below that, of course, that's understandable. But, well, you know, we had this discussion before the All-Ireland final, and you probably heard it, yourself and Parkinson, them about Donegal's tactics, that this could be a problem, the way they play, because they had been, you know, taken apart by Monaghan in the first half. Meath had loaded chances that they didn't convert, particularly two-pointers in the semi, in particular those two games. But as we were saying, because of the two Ulster final ones and the All-Ireland semi and the nature of what Donegal did, they had to stick to their guns, I suppose, from their perspective, in terms of it worked for them, you know. So it was kind of, it was a very harsh learning curve, Mal, to get that defeat in the final. Do you think in any ways that would affect Donegal next year going on? I mean, they're going to have to, I suppose, Mal, do you see a sea change in Donegal? Do you see them going tag defender, for example, the way Kerry did, which allows you to be more front-footed in your attack? Can you see that change happening for Donegal? And ultimately, it needs to happen if you're going to beat a team like Kerry and Croke Park.
Definitely not going to try and second-guess Jim McGuinness. Definitely not going to try that. But I think, back to my initial point, I do think that that's, I think teams in general, more so than Donegal, I think you're probably going to have to try and do that, because Donegal's system was really good in the fact that it was all-out attack and everybody was just so good at bombing forward. But they were probably found out a wee bit in the fact they just didn't have as many man-marking defenders as was probably needed. And that's probably where they came up short, because they were just all about energy. And we saw it so many times, the range of scores they had. And then I think what probably set the tone for that final, I remember saying it the morning after, I thought the tone for the final was set within the first 30 seconds, where Gavin White just ran through the middle, put over a score and says, look, we are here. This is our final. And it was just the way they stamped their authority on it so early. And then obviously, you know, the Paddy Clifford conundrum of just being on the ball all the time. And then you've got, you know, the world's greatest footballer at the moment, David Clifford, just kicking points. Like, it was a perfect storm, and the fact that Kerry seemed to be just absolutely ravenous for it. But back to your point, I do think teams, and Donegal are probably one of those teams, that you're going to have to look at Kerry and realise that you're not going to be able to put the handbrake on them.
Yes.
But you're probably going to have to be able to put your own foot down a wee bit harder. I think every team falls into that category, Brenton, and Donegal, Derry, Tyrone, they're all the same. I do believe that the game has changed now, and you jump on the bandwagon or you're just going to get left behind.
Yeah, it's certainly, it's back to that arms race. It's no longer about all-out defence. It's all-out attack within reason. I think man-for-man defending is something that people are going to have to work on big time.
It's going to bring that back, though.
Yeah.
It is the Shamarty Lockharts and the, you know, the
Did
Mark
you have
Shays
to mention his name?
Always. but all in all seriousness, I think the way the game has gone now, I would be very surprised if there's not a management team somewhere that doesn't phone a Shamarty Lockhart. But I just know him because I know him personally. I did an article with him in my book, and he speaks about the level of detail that goes into man-marking players. So the people like that, I think, are gold dust, where they go into an inter-county setup and they teach a defender how to defend. And if you have a defender who's a 6 out of 10 as a defender, can you make him an 8 out of 10 by the end of the year?
Yeah.
Because that's coming back now.
Is there a mind change or a mindset change with players now? Now, if you ask a player to do that, say the likes of McCall does it for us.
He's very good at it.
And he's brilliant at it, and he got his All-Star. And, you know, but I don't see, if they're the only players kind of have to just sacrifice their game at that. Everybody else gets to play a bit, not everybody else. You might have two stickers, the other one will rotate a bit if you like, but say you'll need at least one, definite one, and another one, right, by and large. A lot of teams will have two definitely.
I think you need three.
Three, yeah. And just quite often the way the attacks end up, though, and with the opposition, you'll tend to have two maybe very dangerous forwards. That's and there tends to be one that'll pull a wee bit out. But yeah, listen, you're going to have three in there, right? But their three games, I think, then are so limited compared to everybody else's, kind of in terms of the action. Take you know, in terms of getting out and get up the pitch and being involved in attack. Now, I know they can interchange that, and the likes of our own Finn Barroti does it brilliantly, but he wouldn't be seen as what you call a man-man marker. Now, he has certain styles, and he's maturing in that, but you if you look at the likes of McCall, you'll not see him benching forward. He tends to get the job of danger man. You stay in him. And it's a very disciplined type game, Mel. Do you know what I mean? Where there seemed to be a lot of those guys years ago were there. Everybody had them. Clubs and counties had guys that were willing, boom, to do that. It's as if now everybody's got has this other side of their game with their attack element as well. And there's a bit probably more fun in that, obviously. So you don't have that many boys of that mindset, you know, anymore. Whether you can coach them or make them is another thing, you know.
But that is the crux of the problem, because it wasn't worked on. Teams just went the safe route and played with sweepers.
Yeah.
The Stanleyhill team who were successful had Brenton Rodgers, Paul McNeil, Carol McKay, Christy McKay, really good markers. And like, I remember Sean Murray saying something to me one time. He spoke to Geezer one day, and Geezer says that the Dublin team were so rich because he had three men who could mark. And whenever it got to the stage of a game where you had to go for the game, that three men could mark on their own 1v1. If you go back to Glenn's All-Ireland final when they were chasing St. Bridget's, Ryan Dugan went one-on-one with Ben O'Carroll, and more or less Malachy Rourke, I'm guessing, said something along the lines of, it's you and him, the rest of us have to chase the game. Yeah. So the man-on-man thing has to come back, and you hit the nail on the head. A man like Brenton McCall, he probably sets his standards by how many times his man touches the ball, how many assists he gets. And if he can look at himself in the mirror after the game and say, well, I've my job done, that is an element of the game, the same as keeper with a kick out, the same as a forward, the same as a playmaker. So everybody has their own aspects. So why not bring back the 1v1 defender? And the team who has three of them, then they can play man-on-man. They can do that. And again, it comes back to my point about if you're going to try and go toe-to-toe with Kerry, yes, you need to be able to outscore them. But you can do that if you have three men who can man, you know, paddle their own canoe, for want of a better term.
Yeah.
And that's both sides of the game, and I think it has to come back. And it is a skill, and people will pride themselves on it. People will get all-stars for it, and people will get plaudits for it, because it's an important part of the game.
It will definitely come back. There's no doubt, and it's desperately needed too, Mel. And it'll definitely be in Derry, because you have a few men that'll step up to that, under the stewardship, of course, of Mina. Marty Boyle's in there too. It's basically Loch McCrory. Teams come over to Derry, right? Luke Barrett.
Five Loch McCrory men from the management team are now in Derry, now including Luke, who's an unbelievable acquisition for Derry.
We love you, Derry boys. We're going to help you out best we can.
what a loss to Donegal, unfortunately, from your point of view. But from an interview look earlier in the year and from chatting to him, he comes across as an encyclopedia. No. And what a coup for Marty Boyle, to be fair.
He's a cracking lad, and I think his respect, Amina, swung that there. And listen, good luck to him. And of course, if we don't want it next year, Mal, we hope Derry do. And I know that's vice versa from you.
There you go. You heard it here first, folks. The Venny's on the
Oak Leaf. Mal, all the best, my man. Thanks as ever. That's Michael McMahon of the Gaelic Life. I want to thank everybody for listening in this evening. Joe Dex here for producing. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions. Jimmy and Paul, I'll be with you shortly.